Welcome to the Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, with your host, Director of the MVAA, Zanetta Adams.
Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. I'm your host, Zanetta Adams, Director of the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. Now, we're talking with General Teft today throughout this show, the Brigadier General for the Michigan Air Force, Air National Guard Air Force, to highlight some of the journey that he's had, to also talk about some of the strategies that Michigan has for really elevating the Air Force here, and really just to hear his perspective going from active duty to National Guard and how things are and how he feels about the veteran space. And so we have a great show for you today. It's different than some of the other shows that we've had, but we like to keep it updated and fresh. So we would love for you to stick around as we have a great conversation with General Teft coming up after the commercial break. So we'll be right back on the Veterans Perspective. Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. We're going to be talking today about strategies that Michigan is using to elevate the Air National Guard here in Michigan. But before we get into that, I wanted to just talk to you all about some of the things that have been happening over the last week. And so last week we had Task Force Tribute, which hopefully you all were tracking, were aware of it. We had a lot of people come out that day. Unfortunately, we probably had some that stayed away because of the weather reports, but it ended up clearing up in time for us to have this great event that featured the governor. I know Senator Barrett was there. We had the Air National Guard was really who put this event on in collaboration with Project Relo. And Task Force Tribute really is a living, moving memorial that recognizes the over 7,000 service members who died after 9/11. During the war on terror, and it's they're going to travel each mile for those service members who were killed. And so it started right here in Lansing, Michigan. It was a great event. We had service organizations out there sharing information. We had new members of the Michigan National Guard take their oath of enlistment. We also had oaths of re-enlistment, and we were able to hear the names of the 229 service members who died right here from Michigan. And so it really was a solemn event, but it also was a celebration of the lives of those individuals. And so hopefully you'll continue to track Task Force Tribute across the country. They end their journey in Washington, D.C. on 9/11, which, you know, I think that's fitting as well. And they'll be traveling to different states, like Washington State, and they'll be going to Colorado and many other states. So hopefully, if you have any family or friends out in some of those states that they're traveling, you can have them look out for that Task Force Tribute and go out and give some honor to those folks who gave their lives. One of the other things that happened over the last week is I attended the National Association of State Directors of Veterans Affairs, and it's a training conference that we go to, and we really get to learn about some of the best practices that other states are doing. Sometimes it's our state that's sharing the best practice, but we get to learn about some of the things that other states are doing, how we can be better as a state, and then we get to speak with VA officials, DOD officials, officials across the spectrum who deal with veterans in order to make sure that we are getting and receiving all the information and benefits necessary for Michigan veterans. And I'll tell you that, you know, every time I go to one of these training conferences, I learn something new that we can bring back. And so while I won't share everything that we're going to be doing or some of the things that we're going to be looking at, as you all know, we're provided appropriation for state cemetery and state cemetery feasibility study. And it was really great to hear about some of the grant opportunities for new states and new counties who are getting into that field of having a state cemetery and finding out some of the things that we can do and who we can have buried at those cemeteries. So great information. One of the other things that happened at this conference was that I was elected as the junior vice president for the National Association of State Directors of Veterans Affairs. And what that means is, there's a senior vice president and then there's a president, the president being from Arizona and the senior vice president being from Florida. And our job is to make sure that we are taking all of the the issues, the top issues for sure of the veterans face, and the top needs that veterans face across the country in our states, to elevate those to the VA and to Congress. And so in my role, I chair the legislative committee for the association, and will be able to help prepare those reports that we have that go to the hearing, because at Congress in February. So we usually have a hearing on what's going on, what's happening in the veteran space. And so I get to be a part of that as well. So it's exciting. It's a little bit more work, but it allows Michigan to be at the forefront of what's going on in the national space. And so really excited to be in that role, excited to represent Michigan in that way, and excited to continue to learn more and bring more information back here to Michigan so that we can have a great state for veterans. You know, one of the things I say often is that we know veterans move from state to state. They move from county to county. They move from city to city. And so we all should be the best for veterans, right? Every state should be have the best resources and opportunities for veterans. And so my hope is that we can all get there, because I should be choosing where I want to live based on maybe a job opportunity, or based on the beautiful, you know, weather that we have, both hot and cold here in Michigan, and not necessarily because a benefit's not available. And so we'll continue to move Michigan forward. And it's with your help and your information that you provide us, and your suggestions, that we can continue to do that. And speaking of suggestions, I want to encourage you all, if you have suggestions for the show, for topics, show topics, please check out our MVAA website. That's michigan.gov/MVAA. Click on the About section, scroll down to the bottom, and you'll see the Veterans Perspective. You can go ahead and click on that. And then if you want to be a guest, or you want to give us a show idea, we will certainly take that, because as much as this, I host this show, this is your show. This show is about what you want to hear, what you want to see, and how we can continue to bring that information to you on this platform. Just as a reminder, the VA Veterans Crisis Line is still the same, but actually it got a little shorter. So if you want to reach out to the Veterans Crisis Line, whether you're the veteran or you're a spouse of a veteran or a dependent, and you're trying to get that veteran some help, you can call 988, press 1. So you can dial 3 digits, 988, press 1, save it to your phone if you haven't done it already, so you can have it readily available. But that's the new crisis line. And then, as always, if you need anything from us, you can always give us a call at 1-800-MISHVET. That's 1-800-642-4838. When we come back from the commercial break, we'll be chatting with Brigadier General Brian Teff. See you after the commercial break. Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. Joining me today is Brigadier General Brian Teff. Now, he's been on the show before, but I wanted to go through his bio again for those who may not have remembered. So he is the Assistant Adjutant General of the Michigan Air National Guard. He's the Principal Advisor to the Adjutant General of all Michigan Air National Guard matters. He commands 2,500 ready airmen executing multiple domain global operations, safeguarding the homeland and supporting Michigan communities. In addition, General Teff serves as the Air National Guard Assistant to Commander, Air Force Sustainment Center, Air Force Material Command, Tinker Air Force Base, Oklahoma. He's the Senior Air National Guard and Total Force Advisor for Analytic Total Force Assessments, Policy Oversight, and Implementation. He leads oversight of Total Force missions and roles in support of Chief of Staff Secretary of the Air Force, Office of the Secretary of Defense, Major Command, Congressional Delegation Taskings, balances National Guard equities and shaping multi-billion dollar force structure, manpower, and acquisition programs. General Teff received his commission in 1989 from the U.S. Air Force Academy, where he earned a Bachelor of Science degree in Operations Research. He then completed undergraduate pilot training at Columbus Air Force Base, Mississippi. Following pilot training, his first assignment was as a T-38 instructor pilot, followed by a transition to the A-10A and A-10C. General Teff joined the Michigan Air National Guard in 1998 and has served in the variety of leadership and command roles throughout the state. He participated in military operations as an A-10 and MQ-9 pilot, to include Operation Southern Watch, Operation Iraqi Freedom, Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Freedom Sentinel, and Operation Inherent Resolve. Prior to his current assignment, General Teff was the Wing Commander of the 110th Wing Battle Creek Air National Guard Base here in Michigan. Welcome back to the show, General Tuff.
Thank you, Director Adams. Good morning. Appreciate the intro.
Yeah, it's quite the resume there. And, I would love to hear a little bit more about, so you went to the Air Force Academy. What was your desire to do that? Was that something like, was it a family legacy or just, you know, what was your reason?
So actually it was not a family legacy. As it turned out, I'm the first person in my entire family who ever served in the military. I got kind of led onto the academy through some high school counselors. You know, I was a decent student and athlete and stuff like that. And it looked like a great opportunity. And I always wanted to fly. And then when I found out, hey, you go to the Air Force Academy, lots of opportunities to be a pilot in the Air Force and serve your country, thought that'd be a great place to go. So that's where it started. And then 33 years later, here I still am. Kind of shocking, actually.
Wow. And, you know, it's funny that I think, you know, growing up, the school I went to didn't talk about the academies much. So I didn't even know that that was a thing, really. And so you learned about it in high school. What would you recommend for those folks who may be interested or, you know, when should they really start taking seriously the interest? Is it high school? Is it middle school? Like, when should they really start looking at that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I've sat on some of the Academy interview panels. I've been asked to do that over the past few years. And I think what really works out well is right about that freshman, sophomore year, if you start preparing yourself and taking the, you know, some practice ACTs or real ones or SATs and kind of, you know, talking to your guidance counselor and then moving the process forward, that seems to work out really well. And then I think once you get that package in about your junior years, when people really get serious about it and apply, and then the process kind of continues throughout your senior year as well.
Yeah, and that's 4 years of paid college, really. I mean, you're going to college, but you're going to military college. That's correct?
Correct. So you graduate from any one of the service academies. You graduate with a bachelor of science degree from an accredited university, and it is everybody's on scholarship, but in return, you owe the Air Force or the Army or the Navy or whatever service you're in, you owe them a commitment. There's at least a 5-year commitment, and then depending on what other specialty you go in, it may be slightly longer.
Okay. So then you served about 10 years active, right?
I did, yes.
And then you decided, you know, you wanted to come. So this was coming back home to Michigan, or, you know, why did you choose Michigan?
So it's kind of coming back home. I'm originally from Wisconsin, mm-hmm. but I was flying the A-10 active duty, and I wanted to continue to fly the A-10, but I wanted to pursue maybe some civilian opportunities as well. So I looked in the Midwest, and the closest unit to where I grew up happened to be Battle Creek, Michigan, and they flew the A-10. So I applied and got hired. I started out just part-time, and I did that for about 8 years. And then I flew for the airlines as well during that period. And then I transitioned to more of a full-time role in the Guard. So it turned out to be a great decision. I didn't know how it was going to end up, but really worked out well, I think.
So, you know, I want to talk a little bit about those 8 years, because, you know, between that time when you went, you know, active guard, and you were really, you know, doing the 2 weekends a month, two weeks out the year, I mean, 2 weekends a month, 1 week in a month, 2 weeks out the year type of thing. And so you're coming off active duty, and now you're kind of like this quasi civilian. What was that like?
It was quite a change initially. It took me a while to adjust. But, you know, I had a pretty good support system, not only for my family, but actually the Guard itself. So the unit I joined, the 110th Wing at Battle Creek, just an awesome unit, just like it is today. I mean, phenomenal people, great place to work, and just a great overall support system. And people, they were able to give me a lot of really good advice on how to make the transition work. And that was just extremely helpful. So it was challenging, but I had a really good group of people around me, mm-hmm. kind of helping me and walking me through the process. And it was interesting to go from 10 years plus the academy. It was really about 14 years where I, you know, worked full time for the military, and then to transition to more of a part-time role, even though it was a little bit more than one weekend a month, you know, 2 weeks a year, because I was an active pilot. So we flew quite a bit during the week, but it was still, you know, very, very different.
It wasn't the same.
It was actually a great experience for me because, you know, that's the guard, you know, the Air National Guard and the Army National Guard as a whole, you know, we're based on that part-time force is really the centerpiece of who we are. And then you have some full-time that support that, so that it's good to experience that and to know, you know, what those challenges are and what people face as they transition from active duty into the Guard.
Yeah. And, you know, just hearing a little bit of your journey, it's, you know, it really is. You've gotten to experience a lot of what individuals experience and then go back to this active piece of military. You know, that's one of the things we see is that when individuals are transitioning out of active duty military, they struggle, and the struggles and challenges are different. You know, some of it is, you know, struggling to acclimate because they don't have this military community. And I think that that's a big part of a lot of the struggles, but struggling to find, maybe it's not just community in the social community, but it's that community with an employment community of people that kind of work with the same type of mindset, and, you know, an educational community where people kind of, you know, go through education at the same type of mindset. And so, you know, after the commercial break, I really want to talk to you about where the Air Force is going, but I also wanted to talk to you about what your biggest challenge was as well, because I think it's important for people to hear that someone of your caliber and your stature and what you do here in the state, that, you know, struggles are not rare. They're something that occur. And so I want you to be thinking about that. But, you know, when we come back from the commercial break, we'll be talking with General Teff about a little bit more about his journey as a National Guard member, as a veteran in that space for a time period. And then we'll be talking to him about the great things he's doing here with the Air Force. And so you guys want to stick around, because it's a great conversation. And, you know, you don't get this type of opportunity to hear from General Teff very often. So we'll be right back after the commercial break on the Veterans Perspective.
Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. Now, your host, Director of the MVAA, Zanetta Adams.
Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. We're talking today with Brigadier General Brian Teff of the Michigan Air National Guard. And we were just talking about his journey from high school into the Air Force Academy, and then, active military, and then to the National Guard. And one of the things we were chatting about was some of the challenges he had coming off of active duty and transitioning into this quasi-civilian veteran space. And so, General Teff, you know, what was one of the biggest challenges that you recall?
Yeah, I think initially one of the biggest challenges, because when I was on active duty, and by the way, my wife, who I met while I was on active duty, she's an Air Force child. So she grew up in the Air Force, moving around with her family. And we had happened at both bases we were stationed, active duty. We happened to live on base, and we were in this big community where everything was right there. And then when you leave that after, you know, a decade or more, and you come into the National Guard, now we had to find a place to live in the community where you didn't have all those real close support systems, like right there. Luckily, as I mentioned before, you know, the 110th wing had a great group for really for the military member, you know, so I had a pretty good support network, but it took a long time for my family to get into that space. Eventually it worked out. And I will say, you know, compared to when it was in the late 90s and now, the overall support system that's available for both the military member and their families is much improved. And that's awesome. And it's thanks to people like you, actually, and your group with the Veterans Administration, that are able to actually provide more of these services. And there's more awareness to what's actually available for not only the member, but their families. So it's mm-hmm. great.
You know, it's almost, you know, you bring up a good point. You know, one of the things that I would say that keeps me up at night is how can we make sure that people are feeling supported when they come out of the military right after, and making sure they're connecting to their community. And it almost seems like there's a synergy between coming off of active duty and going into a National Guard or Reserve force, even for a time period, as it gets you acclimated to the civilian world and still keeps you connected to your military family. So for those of you out there who still may qualify to be a part of the National Guard, whether it be Air or Army, that may be a good way to kind of get connected to that community still, but also learn the community around you in the civilian space. Yeah, I mean, because that's a big struggle, I think, across the country, is trying to figure out how to get veterans connected to their community when they transition out of the military. So you've transitioned, you've gotten connected to some resources. I mean, you know, we work really well with your with the Air Force and making sure that those folks that are coming out, or even those that are still in, have access to resources within the veteran space. But I wanted to kind of shift gears to talk about what you're doing in your active Air Force space here in Michigan, your active National Guard space. Sure. And so you guys are doing some great things. I know the Secretary of the Air Force visited twice this year. Can you talk a little bit about that? I know you can't probably share everything, but can you tell us, you know, why the visit and, you know, what's going on?
Right. The Secretary of the Air Force, we were really fortunate to host him and his team twice here in really the last month or so. And the visit was, they were really initiated by the governor of Michigan, Governor Whitmer. You know, she really pushed for the first visit where he came to Selfridge. And then our great congressional delegation, we have just excellent support throughout the whole delegation. They actually worked and invited the secretary on the second visit to come to Northern Strike, and specifically the Alpena Combat Readiness Training Center. So it's kind of a team approach. We, of course, help with that on the Air National Guard side and the National Guard side with our Adjutant General, General Rogers. But we had a lot of support from the governor and the entire congressional delegation to make both these visits happen, and that they're successful.
Mm-hmm. And what does success look like?
The success we were looking for is we wanted to show the secretary several things. One is we wanted to show the true capability that exists and capacity that exists at Selfridge, Air National Guard Base north of Detroit. Specifically, the reason behind this is obviously the A-10 is a platform that the Air Force is probably not going to fly for a real long time, and it's going away probably sooner rather than later, and we're trying to find a suitable replacement for that airplane. And we really wanted to get that in front of the Secretary of the Air Force, because ultimately the Secretary and his team, they're the final decision maker on all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the second part of the visit up to Northern Strike and the Alpena Combat Readiness Training Center, we wanted to give him a picture of the whole of Michigan approach, so he and his entire team could see what we bring as it relates to our very large airspace complex and the training environment we provide in Northern Michigan and the Combat Readiness Training Center's capability. And then we brought in as well the 110th Wing from Battle Creek and all the capability they provide into Michigan. So we're hoping to give him this holistic approach so he can see the value and really look at how the Air Force can invest more in the state of Michigan and the Michigan Air National Guard.
You know, you raised some good points, and you mentioned Northern Strike. You know, when I was in the National Guard in Florida and Arizona, we didn't get to do some of the cool things that I see a lot of the Michigan National Guard, Air and Army get to do. And Northern Strike is one of those things. And I've gotten to visit a couple of times. And there are people that come from different countries to do this. Can you just give us just a brief overview of what happens at Northern Strike?
Sure. So Northern Strike, it's a very large joint exercise. Joint meaning more than one branch of the service plus international partners. We all come together and we really train and provide this high-level training environment to increase readiness for the U.S. military and our allies and partners. And it's a complex exercise. It involves aircraft using our airspace complex. It involves people on the ground with equipment, with vehicles that use our massive land component airspace. And then we bring in our international partners like Latvia, who next year will be celebrating our 30th year anniversary as a state partner program. Our connection with Latvia is long and it's very powerful. And then we've got a newer partner in Liberia. They were here as well. Plus we bring other allies and partners in as well from different nations. We all train together to prepare for the future and make sure we're ready should the nation call on us.
I think that that's a really cool asset that we have here in Michigan. I know Grayling's such an expansive area, Alpena. And so to have these things happen in Michigan, I wanted you to kind of touch on that because I really don't think people know the cool things that happen in our state, especially if we're not in that space. I don't think I would know it had I not been in this role and connected to the department in the way that I am. So I'm really impressed by what we do and how we execute and these live training exercises too, and to see folks like you said from the UK and coming to Michigan to train on our ground is really huge. And so I want to talk a little bit more about your capacity and even about what you're doing with the Air Force and the airmen to kind of build morale and get everybody around the mission when we return from commercial break. So I'm really appreciating our conversation, and I hope our listeners are too. So we'll be right back after the commercial break on the Veterans Perspective. Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. I'm your host, Annetta Adams, Director of the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. And we have been talking with Brigadier General Teff just about the many facets of the Michigan Air National Guard. And we just finished up a conversation about some of the capabilities and some of the things that are happening here in Michigan. But I wanted to talk about your force strength and some of the opportunities that the Air National Guard airmen have here in Michigan. And so I believe it was 2,500 airmen that you have under your command?
That's correct.
Okay. And so can you tell us a little bit about some of the jobs or some of the things that they do here in Michigan? As we know, different states and different places have different missions. And so what is the mission here of the Michigan Air National Guard?
Yeah, sure, I can cover that. Just I would say just in general, though, we have a lot of the different jobs that are available to everyone across the nation, all the way from doctors and lawyers down to maintenance personnel. And, but we're focused in Michigan. We have our flying missions at Selfridge. So we've got lots of opportunity for people that want to be pilots or maintenance personnel. We also have at Battle Creek, we have a big cyber presence with a large intelligence offering as well. So we're always looking for people who have an interest or a skill set in cyber and IT and then intelligence. So that's really important. And then we have a broad-based approach where we're always looking for new people interested in the personnel field, the military version of HR, and some of the public affairs pieces like Captain Layton does. We're always interested in recruiting people from all over to come in and help us succeed.
So let's just say you had either someone coming straight out of high school or college, or you had somebody who previously served but was never a pilot. They don't have any pilot skills. Can they join the Air National Guard and train to be a pilot, or do they have to go active duty first? What is that process?
So you can do it that way. A lot of times we'll bring people in, they'll enlist in the Air National Guard, and then while they're going to school, because we have great benefits. If you're a member of the Michigan National Guard, you have great education benefits in addition to your GI Bill and all those other things that are available. But we'll bring people in. Maybe they'll work as a crew chief in maintenance for a while until they get their degree. And then there's a process for them to commission. And then you go off to all the pilot training and things like that. And you come back. So that is one way to do it. The other way, of course, is you could go active duty and you can get all those qualifications, kind of like what I did, you know, and then you come right into the Guard, and it's a really easy transition. But there's multiple ways to actually get to your final goal or objective.
Okay. And so you have these different missions. You know, you have folks who are flying out of the country on a regular basis for different missions and things like that. Are your do you have a lot of airmen deployed right now?
Right now, we don't have a lot of people deployed, but I will say we're really more of an operational force. And as an example, our KC-135, it's a big air refueling tanker aircraft that we fly out of Selfridge. They're pretty much busy all year round. And they support global operations all the time. So they may not deploy for months and months on end, but they're always on trips supporting people who are deploying. So we've got those type of people. The A-10s are more on a regular schedule. And then our MQ-9s at Battle Creek, they're always supporting the active duty in one way, shape or another. So it kind of depends on where you are and where you're located. But right now, we don't have a huge deployed footprint.
Okay. And so what, how do you keep morale up? I mean, you have folks who maybe they're traveling every day, or maybe they're just coming in on a weekend, but how do you keep that camaraderie and that morale up within the Air National Guard?
Yeah, each wing is a little bit different, but, you know, really from the state perspective, you know, one thing that we're very, very focused on is professional development for all of our airmen, because we want to create opportunities for every single person in the organization who wants to achieve their objectives. We want everybody to succeed, and we want everybody to be able to achieve where they want to go in the military and in their civilian career. So we're very, very focused on that, which I think is helpful for the organization at large. I mean, people, they love the mission and they love what we do, but at the end of the day, it's really all about the people who serve with you and serve as part of the organization. So our investment into our people to ensure that they are able to reach their goals, it is important, and I think that helps keep morale up. It helps us to be able to achieve our other mission objectives and to be able to pull off exercises like Northern Strike and all the other things. It really starts with the people and taking care of all of our airmen.
Yeah. And I mean, I hear everything that the airmen are doing within the Michigan National Guard. And you hear a lot of times that there's always this distinction between, you know, active Army or active military and National Guard. But, you know, as I talk to more individuals, as I am embedded more in this organization with Air National Guard and Army National Guard, I see that there shouldn't be a distinction. And I love to be able to have these conversations to enlighten the public to say, you know, National Guard members are working just as hard and sometimes harder because there's so much that they have to balance than sometimes on the active duty. And I think that we need to recognize that and recognize, and for those airmen out there and those Army National Guard members out there as well, to remember that, you know, here in Michigan, you're a veteran. And so if you need resources, if you need connectivity, it doesn't matter what other people say. I'm just going to let you know we view you as a veteran and we want to get you connected as best as possible to all of those resources and know that we're out there advocating for you. So I wanted to kind of put that out there because, you know, you hear that all the time. I remember when I was coming through, it was like people looked at National Guard members a certain way, but hearing all the things and seeing all the things I've seen, I'm like, I just remember, I think I've seen the Air National Guard and the Army National Guard here in Michigan do more than some of the things I did when I was on active duty. So just wanted to put that out there. I didn't know if you had any perspective on that, but.
Actually, no, that is a great, I appreciate your comment, Director Adams. I mean, that is, you're spot on. I mean, you said it best, I think, right there. But I will say, from at least from an Air Force perspective, yeah, we're an operational reserve of the United States Air Force, and we're qualified, and we're capable of exactly the same skill sets as the active duty provides on a daily basis. So we train and we maintain the same qualifications as the active duty. So that's perfect.
Yeah. And you have this significant advantage too of having to be in the civilian component. So then you get to learn both sides of the coin. So I think it makes you a little bit better, well-rounded as well. So we're wrapping up, but I've had a great show and a great conversation. I think I've learned some things about you that I didn't know before. So hopefully our listeners did as well. But did you have any final comments for the audience before we wrap up?
I just want to thank you, Director Adams, for all you do for the state of Michigan and our veterans. And for those of you out there listening, you want to join the National Guard, if you want to join the Air National Guard, we are always hiring. We are always recruiting. It never stops. www.goang.com if you're interested. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, General Teff. And as always, you can find out more information, or if you didn't get an opportunity to write that down, you can give us a call at 1-800-MICHVET. That's 1-800-642-4838. You can visit us at michigan.gov/MVAA. If you want to be on the show again, go to that same website, go to the About Us section, scroll down to the bottom, and click on the Veterans Perspective. We enjoyed our conversation today. We thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to hearing from you or seeing you next week on the Veterans Perspective. So